Welcome to the Emmy Louie Show. I am Emmy Louie. Today's topic is about feng shui and geopathology. Our guest today is Werner Brandmeier. He's the founder of the Institute of Feng Shui and Geopathology. He completed his master's in electrical engineering in 1983 and worked for more than 10 years in the field of high-tech medicine at the General Hospital of Vienna, Austria. Werner teaches seminars and is dedicated to spreading the message of feng shui, especially on the impact of subtle earth energies on our health and well-being. He's a member of the International Feng Shui Guild and the American Society of Dowsers. Welcome, Werner.
Yeah, hi. Great to have you on your program.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate you being on the show. And I wanted to ask you, why should we know about what you're doing? What is geopathic stress?
Geopathic stress comes from the word pathology, which means the study of sickness, and geo, like in geography, the earth. So it is about sick-making earth energies, which are pretty well-researched and well-known in Europe, as you might have heard from my accent and from your early introduction. I'm from Austria, German-speaking. And in the German-speaking part of Europe, geopathology, or the research on sick-making earth energies, is around for nearly 100 years. What people in Europe do is, what feng shui practitioners in Europe do is, they combine the Chinese knowledge and tradition of feng shui with their own European tradition and bring it up to an even higher level in these terms.
So tell me some examples. Tell me like an example.
Examples are very simple. Basically, how I understand feng shui, and every practitioner, you know, works a bit different, of course, is that it's all about the energy exchange, the qi. You know, and as we are very energetic beings, we need an amount of qi every day to refill our resources, and part of this is done by food. Part of this is done by sleep and by resting, and the energy of the house is a very important component for this recovery process. So if there are areas or, you know, those so-called geopathic stress zones which do not let you rest properly, what happens at the end of a night, you are not filled up, recharged for the next day. Your batteries could not recharge because the level of energy in the house was too low. And on a long term, this is a bit like a bank account. You always take more energy, you always take more out than you put back in. Young bodies, amazingly, can deal with this for quite a while. But what people found in the 1920s and 30s, so pretty long time ago in Europe, was that long-term illness or long-term health challenges, and they did those studies in the 1920s with cancer patients, always showed up geopathic stress patterns. What I want to really say here is people were very excited at those points because they thought, oh, if we learn more about those and are able to avoid those, we much less might get sick. And I warn a little bit in to think that simple, but it always shows up as a side condition with long-term illness, because what it does, it geopathic stress drains the overall energy, drains the qi, and makes the body and the health much more vulnerable to illness.
How can someone find out if they have that geopathic stress?
There are a number of ways. You know, if you are a professional or a professional dowser, for example, dowsers are used to check out areas. My father is a dowser all his life. He's 85 years old now, looking for water mainly. When I was a little boy, I remember. But dowsers are used to look for geopathic stress patterns. If a very easy approach is you just look how is your sleep. You know, if you do not sleep well, if you wake up two or three times a night, if you wake up, especially in this time between 2 and 3 in the morning, you know, because the geopathic stress grids have their maximum intensity at about this time at night, then something is wrong with the energy in your house. And this is why we want to call a feng shui practitioner in there. Hopefully one who also knows something about geopathic stress, in addition to the other huge knowledge which is out there anyway.
Two questions just came up after you said this statement here, is that you said about waking up in the middle of the night. Can two people react differently to the same thing?
Absolutely. You mean sleeping in the same bed?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, first thing is, depending on the personal chi, everybody reacts individual. You know, if somebody is already exhausted because he had a really hard day or he has a lot of stress in his professional life, his energy is more fragile and more taking up those influences from the environment. The other thing is that those energy fields are very sharp. They're like those grids, and we might maybe want to talk about the different causes of geopathic stress at some point, but some of them are very locally specific on a spot. And so somebody can be exposed to this on one side of the bed and not on the other one. That's very often happening, in fact.
Before you talk about the causes of geopathic stress, can this grid actually change, or is it always the same place?
There are different causes, and some might change, and some are pretty stable. And I have to give you a little bigger answer on this question, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
There are three major causes for geopathic stress. Natural ones. One is underground running water. What dowsers always look for a well, to find water for a well, is underground water veins. On top of those water, it's not healthy to be on. And the knowledge, some basic knowledge like that, is very widespread in Europe. So people are pretty aware that it's not healthy to sleep if you have underground water running under you. And I mean deep under the ground, so not just, you know, sleeping on some surface water.
Well, when you say underground waterway, how far are you talking about? Because doesn't ultimately things, water seep down anyway and they go into the rivers? Are you talking about...
Yeah, but they go in streams. I mean, it's not like not all the land is undermined with water. They're going in streams under the earth. And this is when you put a well in, you like to, either you're lucky or you find a dowser who douses the land before, so you dig your well into one of those underground water streams. The story with those streams is that they do change and they do move, and they get wider with, you know, if it's spring season or if it's raining more, and they dry out over the summer, and they might even change when you put a foundation in because, you know, depending on how deep they are in the earth. So they do change.
So when you say underground running water, is it, how wide is it? I'm trying to visualize this.
You know, sometimes practically what we find in a house, I don't know, 4, 5, 10 feet wide, some like a small stream. You know, I have had houses. And this is another thing which I do this now for 8 years here since I'm in America full-time. And we have a lot. My wife, many years ago, went through cancer herself. So this is why we got into this field, to find out, you know, what can we do to strengthen her and support her. And so this is how I got deeper into this field. And I had cases where the whole house was under a wide water stream, and both people living there had cancer, the husband for the third time, the wife for the second time. And again, it's not that the water or the geopathic stress gives somebody cancer alone, but it obviously seems that it's always a component which should be looked at. And the important part for that is because people do all good energy work. You know, they do great work. So you see your acupuncturist, let's say, or Reiki practitioner, you feel really good. You go home, you lie down in the same bad spot, in the same bed, you know, which weakened you already, and all the benefit is taken away. So next time you call the practitioner and say, why? I felt so good last time, and you always start at the same ground level. You know, you can't really build up. So there was a very interesting study done in Germany in the mid-90s with 8,000 patients, and they showed that as soon as geopathic stress was taken away or cleared, they had an 80%+ improvement rate to all kind of illnesses, where before they seemed to be more blocked.
Is this geopathic stress, has it increased the last 100 years?
I don't think the natural causes of geopathic stress have increased, but there have come some additional artificial causes up recently, and one big field and area is EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies, as well on low frequencies, like on in houses, with they call this dirty electricity, and on the other hand, of course, all the cell phone and wireless applications.
What did you say, electricity? What did you say?
It's called dirty electricity.
Dirty electricity?
Yeah.
D-I-R-T-Y?
Yeah, dirty leg.
Tell me about that. What is that?
Dirty electricity is the phenomenon that, you know, on your power line, which comes into your house, there are spikes of high-frequency signals on there. And this is, in fact, why you buy a surge filter if you want to put your computer on. You know, to protect your computer. Nobody cares about the person who sleeps with the head next to the power line in the wall. But the person is affected in a similar way. It's just creating stress in your system. This is why it's called geopathic stress or EMF stress, because it creates stress in your system. And stress makes us acidic. And acidiness, if you listen to you know, some people like, for example, Dr. Robert Young, a microbiologist, he claims that acidity or over-acidification is a major reason for illness in general.
Tell us some of the things that we can do to prevent the EMF, because I myself, I don't even like to hold a cell phone too much. I mean, what do you recommend and what do you actually do? I mean, a lot of people wear things. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, sure. The best thing and the only thing is to create as much distance between the source of an electromagnetic disturbance and yourself. In physics, there is a law of square distance, which means if you double your distance, you only get the fourth of the energy. You know, if you triple the distance, you get a ninth of the energy, so it really takes off the further you are away. Unfortunately, in times of technology and of life today, even, let's say, we don't have a cell phone ourselves, you know, all the people around us have one. And the field of the cell phone does not stop in your pocket. It just goes around. So as soon as you surround yourself with people or to spend even time in public areas where, you know, all the wireless antennas are up now, it's difficult to do that, to run away from it. So in my opinion, the really only way is first, you know, try to use it as little as possible. By the way, don't use a microwave. You know, that's another story.
Mm-hmm. So we'll be taking a break. We are here with Werner Braunmeier, he's founder of the Institute of Feng Shui and Geopathy. We are here with him and talking about the EMFs. I am Emmy Louie, and we will be back. Welcome back. I am Emmy Louie. Renee Jensen hosts the 2007 International Conscious Design Conference and Expo. It is held at the Sheraton Hotel, Parsippany, New Jersey, in the United States on September 28th, 29th, and 30th of 2007. There's a fabulous show featuring world-renowned experts in interior design, feng shui, green design, architecture, and healthy living. Attend the International Conscious Design Conference and Expo. Visit the website www.consciousdesignexpo.com. See you there. And we are back with Werner Braunmeier, and we're talking about EMF. So almost you're saying, Werner, is about cell phone usage and that you can get secondhand cell phone effects, even if you don't have a cell phone yourself.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So do you actually ever go and use, the Gauss meters and actually measure that?
There are two effects which unfortunately are often mixed up. There is an electrical effect and there is a bioenergetic effect. Many of the devices which you find on the internet, and you know, we offer some ourselves in our website, more working on the bioenergetic side than on the purely electrical side. If you shield a signal on the pure electrical side, you won't get reception anymore. So this doesn't make sense. On the other hand, you just really want to protect yourself and your energy field and your energy aura body from being depleted. I mean, that's the main goal, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So what you'd like to do on one hand, as I said, is, you know, don't overload yourself with electrical equipment. You know, just to reduce it to kind of a practical way. But I work on my computer a lot of the day. I have a cell phone on me. That's pretty much it for me. A lot of people are also not aware that very much any digital modern equipment weakens you energetically, and you can do easily muscle testing on those, applied kinesiology, to just confirm that. So that's our world. So an iPod, for example, does the same, or those games for the children, they do the same. That's just our world. So again, I believe the way is not to run away and live in the woods, because only so many can do that. The way is to be proactive and use some devices which protect yourself in form of devices you put on your phones or on the appliances, or sometimes it's pendants people wear to shield off their own energy field against those influences.
When you talk about wireless technology, I think you mentioned that, if, let's just say, if you have a home and you want to hook up your computer or you want to get internet service, what is the best way that you would recommend or you do it? Do you ever do wireless, or you just use cable, or which one is better?
The better way is definitely cable. You know, very often if you have want to use your equipment in different rooms, which are sometimes difficult to reach with a cable, then even the companies already recommend from the beginning to go with a wireless installation. Again, what you want to do is then you want to make sure you get some of those devices and work as well from the antenna side as from the receiver side on both parts of the equipment with them. I have a wireless installation now. For a long time I didn't want to. I have three kids and two of them are in high school, and everybody wants to use their computers, and this is our world. So I try to protect them as much as I can. From my background as a medical engineer, where I, you know, worked in one of Europe's largest hospitals for many, many years, I remember that some of my clients, neurosurgeons, did experiment with finding out how much a brain is affected by cell phones. And on some of my material, I have information on which show that the brain of a grown-up is about penetrated one-third by a cell phone, which is bad enough. The same cell phone would penetrate a five-year-old child completely. It would go completely through the head because the skull is still softer and the head is smaller. And if you also consider that this brain still has to grow and has to develop, then that's a very bad thing. So I personally believe those children phones, you know, which they came out with looking like Mickey Mouse, are not a healthy thing.
In regards to the cell phone, some cell phones, at least the one I have, there's an attachment you can purchase where it's similar to a headphone.
Uh-huh.
Does that make a difference? So it's not. So if you put on this headphone, the cell phone's not right next to your head.
I would say it is better. What I would recommend is to get a speaker which sits on the ear, not those in-ear plugs. There was a study done in Belgium, I believe, in at the end of the 90s, which said that the in-ear plugs make it about 2.6 times worse than the cell phone itself. Because what happens is the cable through the to the earplug works a bit as an antenna, and you get even closer to your brain if you stick the little ear thing into your ear than if you have the cell phone itself about maybe half an inch or an inch away from your head. So what I would recommend is to use one of those devices, but to take earphones which sit on the ear, you know, with a speaker outside, or you know, on your head with a like these headphones are.
Okay, so it sounds like it was even worse than what I expected for the question that I asked. So this brain tumor, you said brain tumor, right? You did say that, right? Or dreaming? Because people,
I did not say
you
that.
Hear it all the time, and do people pay attention with all that?
I tell you again, because there's a big fight about this, you know, in Europe.
Yeah, well, who has the reason to benefit or not benefit from this information? Why is it being suppressed or anything like that?
It's everything is about money, and the mobile and communication industry is an incredibly increasing industry. So as long as there is no proof, no final proof, business is done, and that's the major crux. I just want to tell you one story, and I don't want to get into that in just for other reasons, but I can tell you something. About 8-9 months ago, the Association of Medical Doctors in Austria, like, you know, they have a big website, you know, they give advice and this and that, put a warning on their website in Austria to keep kids away from cell phones as much as you can. And there was a big of an uproar in the industry then, but a few months later, the Austrian government banned all cell phones from schools in general in Austria. So there are no cell phones in schools allowed. With the explanation, they said, we are not finally sure yet. There is not final proof, maybe, about the danger of cell phones. But we want to be as proactive in this topic. We don't want to wait like the smoking. 20 years later, we knew it was really bad. And we have ruined already like a generation or three of kids.
Could it also be that the cell phones are banned because of just the activity of using a cell phone, and it's distracting, especially for kids?
I'm sure that's a good reason too, but the main reason or explanation for that were health reasons, health causes. So you know, you get two things with one measure.
how familiar are you with biobiology? It seems like it's one and the same in what you're doing. And why is it that so many of the biologists are from Germany? Is there something going on with that area as far as, I think you said that earlier.
No, there's just...
Is there a lot of geopathic stress over there?
Yeah, geopathic stress is everywhere the same. There's just a lot of awareness about this because of the research, you know, which goes back a number of years, or nearly 100 years now. There's just awareness in the scientific community as well as in population, and so people are willing to listen to advice and take those advice. When you build houses, I mean, houses are built completely different. I just came back from Europe. I was there 3-4 weeks ago.
And let's hear about it.
you won't believe how different houses are built there.
Well, I do believe. Go on. I want to hear. Everybody wants to hear about what people are doing in Europe, huh?
For example, a friend of mine who is an architect himself built a zero energy house. He doesn't have a heating system.
A what energy house?
A zero energy house.
Oh, zero. Okay.
He didn't build a heating system in his house, and they have the same. I'm here from Portland, Maine, you know, like on the show here from the East Coast. So we have snow in winter. 6 months we have a foot of snow, and we have about similar weather in Austria. But the houses are so well insulated. You know, they put about, 6-8 inches of cork or foam, you know, if you want so, on the outside of the house. I mean, these houses, the worst which can happen is that you spend about maybe $300-$400 a year on heating costs. I mean, we have in our houses here, just for the snow region, because maybe you are from a warmer area, we have about, you know, $2,000 to $3,000 of heating costs a year.
So you're saying with this zero energy cost, there is no cost to maintain the house from an energy standpoint?
You know, like not everybody does it on zero, but there is a minimum cost to do that. Of course, to do that costs you to start up with much more, you know, of course. You know, so the installation and insulation and, you know, costs more at the beginning, which is a bit, I believe, you know, comes from the lifestyle and tradition over there, because when you build a house in Europe, you stay there for a long time, sometimes your whole life. So you're very, very well interested to invest at the beginning and then take advantage of this for the rest of your life. Well, here in America, the style is, you know, you move around much more. If you buy a house, in general, you're not much longer there than 3 or 5 years. So why would you invest so much money in the house if you leave anyway in a few years? You know, this comes out from bigger life cycles and experience.
I was telling a little diversion, but I was telling my husband that maybe if more people believed in reincarnation and that they were born back into what they created, that would be more responsible citizens. But that's another topic.
Very good thought, yeah. Of course. I'd like to get back a little bit to where I left before about geopathic stress.
Absolutely.
You know, we said one of the natural causes for geopathic stress is moving water, underground moving water. So not standing water, like on a lake, but moving water, because obviously the friction of the water carries some of this information with it. Or, you know, there is no complete scientific explanation why this is. By the way, there was a study done at the University of Munich at the beginning of the 1990s. And there was a book written afterwards, which said about, you know, translation in English to English would be the Dowsing Report, where scientists tried with all their equipment to verify what dowsers find. You know, so this type of energies which dowsers obviously find repeatedly, to use magnetometers or any Earth radiation sensors or all kind of equipment, And they could not agree on a theory what these geopathic stress grids and vibrations are. They acknowledged in the book that there was something there, what Dowsers would repeatedly find, but they did not have a scientific explanation. The second cause for geopathic stress next to this running, moving water are earth fault lines. And, you know, any time the earth is torn up in its structure, maybe much more on the west coast than here on the east coast.
Well, doesn't that exclude a lot of cities then?
You know, it's not, in general, it's not happening too much anyway. It does happen sometimes when big buildings are built. You know, big where a foundation goes far in, because then there is a manual traumatizing of the earth happening. You know, when you put a garage in for three floors and then you build a skyscraper on there, you create this manually. But otherwise, I just mean natural
gaps
in fault lines, yeah, in the ground. On top of those fault lines, there's also energy, and they're all a bit different. They all have a bit different, I would say, dowsing language, a different taste. Like they are a little different, but they all belong to the big family of geopathic stress causes. The third one, and the most happening one or annoying one from my point as a feng shui consultant, are grid systems. And maybe some of you have heard of grids like the Hartmann grid or the Curry grid or the Banker grid. These were people... most of them, or all of them on this line, are Germans. Dr. Ernst Hartmann was a German medical doctor in the 40s and 50s who researched one of those grids, and so it was named after him. Dr. Manfred Curry was an American doctor who lived in Germany a few years later, who described another one of those grids. And some of those grids carry geopathic stress. And this is what I do now mainly in my daily consultations, is I check houses before I do anything else. I check houses on those grids or on any causes of geopathic stress. Because what happens is, in a feng shui consultation, you try to increase the energy of the house. You know, and try to balance the flow through the house. What people often are not aware of is one effect that you only can manipulate energy in the house which is there. You know, if there is no energy there, there is nothing really happening. If you work on your bagua, for example, you know, and some people get really excited because it worked well, they tell their friends, they try a similar thing and nothing happens. And nobody understands, why does feng shui not work suddenly? You know, it's the misunderstanding sometimes that you only can move around energy which is there. So if there is an energetic drain there, which is a geopathic stress area, then the energy is pulled out of the house or is disturbed through some additional diversive patterns, so it cannot be used beneficially. And I bring the example of a house on a waterfront, on a lake. And everybody loves waterfront houses. Why is that? Because the water, you know, is so strong, holding the energy for the land there. And there's so much energy on the land that architecturally you barely can mess up enough that there is not enough energy in the house. But if you compare this to a situation in a big city, you know, when you are in New York, and we always go down to the New Life Expo in New York, when I drive in there and I feel how dense the situation becomes there, and you think of how much energy is there outside the house, you know, the same in the first case where you had an abundance of energy, and you are between some skyscrapers, you see a little bit of blue sky up there, maybe you have 10% of the energy from the first example. What we are not aware of is as soon as we put walls down and a roof on top of a structure, that we cut off 80% of the chi of a place. So in the first example, at the water property, there is so much chi there, even if we cut off 80%, it doesn't really matter. And this is what good architects do. They find a way, you know, designing the entrance and the windows and everything in a healthy proportion so that they get in and keep as much chi as possible and lead it around nicely and so on.
I heard that walking on the ground is very beneficial because you get the magnetic energy from the earth. What are your thoughts about that?
Definitely. Whenever you connect to the ground, that's good. You know, the topic of negative energies, is part of nature and is not affecting you when you walk around or something. You know, it's not really the only time it affects you when you expose yourself over proportionally to those energies, which means you spend a lot of time on a specific spot. And this is why we always check out bedrooms first, because we spend 8 hours a day in our bed. And on the other hand, we spend the time there during the night, obviously, when those energies have their maximum. But to walk around in general, to, you know, charge up with the land energy is a good thing, I would say. Absolutely, why not? Just to finish the example from before, so when you now think you have an apartment on the seventh floor of one of those buildings, and you start with 10% out there, and you definitely cut 90% at least, or 95% off the energy from the street to your apartment in the back aisle, apartment 705 or something, then you can see how much chi from the outside you get into your place, and how little, maybe to say more precisely. And then when I move my furniture around and try to get the chi going, not much is happening. So we have to start really from the outside and see, you know, what's the situation outside, and then work our way into the house.
Okay, so
makes sense.
You're on a roll, and we're here with Warner Brodmeier. He's talking about the grid system and the effects of the causes of geopathic stress. I'm Emmy Louie, and we will be back. The Feng Shui Institute International announces its 2007 conference, The Continuum of Connectedness, which is held November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, 2007 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A variety of engaging topics will be presented, from mind over matter, how it is infused in the physical environment, to interior design tools for Feng Shui practitioners. For more information, visit the Feng Shui Institute International's website, www.fengshui-ii.org. Click on the link, Conference. Attend the Feng Shui Institute International's 2007 conference. You don't want to miss it. We are back with Werner Brodmeier. And Werner seems to be on a roll here in talking about the geopathic stress. And what are the signs of the geopathic stress? Tell me about that.
The signs of geopathic stress are, you know, as we talked already a little bit before, general watching your energy levels. Okay, if somebody does not sleep well over a longer period of time, except that, you know, he had a bad meal in the evening, but over a longer period of time, if somebody feels beaten up in the morning, after a considerable time of sleep, you know, after 7-8 hours of sleep, something is wrong with the system. And you only can do this so long till your system shows weaknesses. Something practical are, for example, to watch nature around you. For example, watch plants. watch animals, watch pets. Plants react very often precisely on geopathic stress. There are old folk sayings in German for trees. You know, you should avoid willow trees. In German it sounds weiden sollst du meiden, buchen sollst du suchen. You should look for a beech tree when there is a lightning out there, but you should avoid willow trees. This is not because the willow is a bad tree or something, but the willow loves to grow on water, the same with oak trees. So if I have a consultation, which happens once in a while here in Maine, going to a street called Oak Street, you know, I already get a simple sign that obviously there are a lot of oak trees growing or were growing before the buildings came up there, which might be the reason, you know, that there is a lot of underground water there. So sometimes you see trees which grow completely crippled. You know, sometimes you see, I have a collection in my material, and if somebody wants to look up my website, you know, some of the...
Oh, yes. What is your website? I'm sorry.
My website is www.instituteoffengshui.com. In one word, Institute of Feng Shui, FENGSHUI.com. I have a collection of pictures, for example, an apple tree which grew sideways about 10, 15 feet sideways before it grows up. And when we looked there, there was a huge round water, underground water area field which the tree tried to avoid. So fruit trees usually are not happy on geopathic stress. We have an ocean cove here. I'm living pretty close to the ocean. And a lot of trees have this cancerous-looking bark, you know, and some people think that's nice-looking trees, but it's in Germany, these trees are called, these barks are called tree cancer, and which means, I think it's a little warm or something, but what it means is that the immune system is too weak in the tree to fight that, what other trees do, because it's not normal to look like that. Sometimes you see firs or like tall trees which grow up straight and they are completely crippled and you know, are not happy with their position where they are. So this is one thing in with the plants. There is another one with hedges. And I have pictures of those too, when you see a row of hedges of evergreens and there is always a gap somewhere in the middle. And people try to, you know, put a new tree in there and it just does not grow well because there is a grid line going through there. And, you know, this type of hedges maybe does not like those energies. If we come into the animal world, an easy trick is, and thousands know about that, is that cats are attracted by geopathic stress, while dogs do avoid them. So if you have your cat lying on your bed all the time, that's not a good sign. If your dog likes your bed, that's a much better sign. And some people, you know, do not have a cat or a dog, so I always say, hey, can make out a business out of that, just rent a cat and let her run around for a week and see where her favorite spots are. I have in my practice, I have had cases where you know, people have two or three cats and we look at the favorite spots of the cat through the house on the floor plan, and you see already the grid developing there just from that. So cats are pretty good signs. Another sign would be manifestations of insects. So if somebody has ants in the house, very, very likely, ants always enter the house through a weakness where geopathic stress at the same time enters the house.
I like it.
We also, just to tell you this story, we use, if somebody goes to the website, we might talk about this later on still, but what to do, to avoid those things. But in
let's talk about that. We have about 7 more minutes.
Okay. In cases, we cannot just move away from there. Okay.
And why not?
Yeah, sometimes I had cases where people do not want to move the bed because just of optical, artistic reasons, because the bed fits on there nicely. But there is a geopathic stress pattern under the bed, so it's not a healthy place. So we use energetic devices, and they're called house shields, feng shui power discs. You put them on a wall, and it neutralizes all geopathic stress in a building.
I know. I saw on your website that feng shui power disc 99, and
I said,
what is that?
And we have a new one now. We have an even more powerful one, which is called Feng Shui Power Disc Plus. And there's a silver piece built in. It neutralizes geopathic stress in a building. And to tell you stories about that, because people might think, that sounds like voodoo. We have many, many cases of small children. When small children do not sleep well, to some degree, they fall out of the bed. They always roll in one corner because naturally small children try to avoid geopathic stress. So they try to get away from that. And then parents come back every, half an hour, an hour, 2 hours, and put their kids back in the middle of the bed. Sometimes a crib is there and the child cannot move away. And so they wake up 5, 6, 7 times a night. They don't sleep well. We put those discs up. The children practically always sleep through the night the next day. Unbelievable. Another thing with insects is we had a number of cases with carpenter ants in a house. And at the dowsing conventions, people always come up with all those ideas and tricks what to do against ants, because it is known there that ants and geopathic stress go together. We put those, and the discs were not made as a tool for ants, but very often they bring very good results. The ants move out of the house. I have a number of cases like this. So, which means it's nothing to think about or mentally need to understand. It's just an energetic shift. I also do lectures in New York down there, and I will have a lecture this Thursday before the New Life Expo, which I believe is around the 18th or something, like 18th of October, with the New York Feng Shui Guild. And we will have, beginning of November, we will have a workshop, a full-day workshop there, where we'll experiment with those. And when we try out, at my lectures, I always, try out, do some muscle testing, show with dowsing instruments how to find geopathic stress lines. And then we put our shields on, and a number of people last time said immediately the energy changed in the room. So those people who are sensitive with those energies, they can feel it immediately.
How big are your power discs?
The power discs are about 6 by 6 inches, I would say. And they go flat on a wall, about a foot down from the ceiling. And if you're able to douse for the best spot in the house, because they work usually for the whole house, but if you can douse or muscle test and can put them, there's always one spot in the house where they do the maximum. It even increases the effect a little bit, so you can fine tune it to the maximum effect.
People can purchase this on your website?
Yeah, they find those on the website. There is no automatic order service there, so they just can look through and find more information on, and then they would have to call me. So my number is on there. My email is on there to click.
Yeah, what is your number?
Anybody has a question? My phone number is 207 772-7888.
And your website is, again?
The website, again, is www.instituteoffengshui.com.
We have a few more minutes. Anything else, Werner? It sounds like you were very thorough in what you talked about today as far as the summary of what you do.
Thank you, Amy, very much. I appreciate it very much to have the opportunity here. I have kind of a last message, if I have a minute. My passion is to integrate the knowledge about those environmental energies and weakening energies with any health field. Because anybody who works with patients knows that, you know, some patients get better and some just don't bring results. They always come back the same week than they came a week or 2 weeks earlier. And one of the reasons might be very much, or at least somebody should ask the question, how do you sleep? You know, do you feel good in the morning? Might be that, you know, the improvement of energies which happens during a session is taken away over the next few nights, you know, through a not-so-great situation at home, which means not only feng shui practitioners, but of course those, but any health practitioners should know some basics and should be aware of the possibility of geopathic stress.
Thank you very much, Werner Braunmeier. Thank you for being on the show, and I appreciate all this information about the geopathology. I am Emmy Louie, and you can look at my website and archives on www.emyloue.com. Have a great week, and namaste.